All right, so we're going to go back. I know it's been a while, so let me give you a reminder of pretty much how Paul wraps up chapter 2. Now, Paul focused on this unity we have in Christ. And he starts off by talking about the compare and contrast of chapter 2 is who we are as Gentiles and who we are as Jews. Because we understand that Jesus first came to the Jews. And so for that, we kind of had to define who the Jews were. And very, very simply put, the Jews were these people that they had the promise of Abraham. They had the law of Moses. They were in this covenant relationship with God. And basically, if you didn't have that, you were everybody else. And so by definition, if you were not a Jew, you were a Gentile. Well, not by definition, by default. The Jews, they kind of saw themselves as better than everybody else. And that's probably how the early church, especially the Jewish Christians, approached the Gentile Christians. And so there was definitely hostility between the two groups of people. This isn't unique to Ephesians. We see this pretty much all over the New Testament, especially in the book of Romans. And so Paul is going to stress this point of having unity between the two. They're no longer under that old law. They're no longer in that particular covenant relationship, but they are now in a new covenant relationship, and that is because of the sacrifice that they have in Christ. Or, as he says, broken down in the flesh. They are commanded as brothers and sisters to be in this harmonious relationship, and now we all get along, right? I hear laughing. Does that mean we don't get along? Reality and expectations are two different things as we come to see, especially as we come to live together as brothers and sisters in Christ. But this is why that Paul constantly preaches peace between the two people. And not necessarily between the two people, but between just different peoples in general. Moving into this week's lesson, I'm gonna point out what I think is a rather obvious point. Often people see and hear what they expect to see and hear. Case in point, read this statement with me. Always check your errors, otherwise you might not notice a mistake when it's too late to correct it. How many of you noticed the mistake? How many of you didn't notice the mistake? I read this 5 times before I noticed the mistake. If you notice, it says later, not late, to correct, because your brain automatically fills in the answer for you. You expect that particular answer to be there because it makes sense, which is why it's really, really difficult to correct your own work. There's been a lot of different studies on this. So when people hear things that they are expecting to hear, they're automatically going to fill in those blanks whether or not that is what the statement is actually saying. The gospel is kind of the same way. People have this expectation exactly of what the gospel is. And so because of that, because of Bible and the gospel are slightly related to those expectations, they only hear those things. So when the people who are not Christian think about the gospel, they think about it as maybe this feel-good book. Is the Bible a feel-good book? Well, I would say it is. But it's not what it's supposed to be. They might say it's a book about not judging. Well, that's certainly wrong. They might say it's a book about loving each other. That's pretty accurate. They might say it's how to better improve yourself. Well, that's more of a consequences of what it is, not so much of what it's supposed to do. Some people look at the Bible as a historical book. The thing about all of these is they all have an element of truth in it, and so when people hear about it, they expect this is what the Bible is. Now, technically I could say yes, but I would also say you are completely missing the point as if this is what you think the gospel is. And that's our fault. I cannot think of anyone else to blame. Yes, there is a non-Christian looking at the Bible, they have to come to their own terms with it. But it is our responsibility as Christians to teach the Bible, so if there's some reason they're not comprehending it, it's probably our own fault. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons people are not comprehending the Bible, and it's probably due to one of these 10 reasons. Maybe they just don't like us. Maybe they don't like the Bible. Maybe they struggle to understand it. They would rather live in their sin. But it is still our responsibility as stewards to continue to reveal the truth of what it is to tell the gospel. So when Paul is moving into chapter 3, he's talking about this mystery, this great mystery that's revealed. And he says, this is what the mystery is. The mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. It's that every single person everywhere in all of creation, in all of history, regardless of who they are, gets to share in the gospel. And it is your responsibility as teachers, as preachers, as stewards to the word, to share that message with them. So this message is a long time coming. It's not something that just happened one day, but something that I outlined in four acts. In Act 1, God reveals this mystery through the preparation of Israel. And I feel like this is the most frustrating part of God's four acts in revealing this promise to Israel. So He sends the promise to Abraham. He creates the 12 tribes. He creates the tribes of Moses. He unites the tribes and he subjugates the tribes. And then he subjugates the tribes again. And then he subjugates the tribes again. And we're still in the book of Judges and we haven't even made it to the kings yet. And this is God constantly preparing the people for this mystery. And then finally, when he's ready, and he feels like the people are where he needs them to be, he moves on to part two. He sends Jesus to earth. But part of that is also preparing the prophets, letting them know that Jesus is going to come. And he informs the masses. He tells the shepherds. He puts the star in the sky. And we talked all about this 2 weeks ago. And then Jesus is born, and everybody is excited that they understood it. But no, they didn't quite understand it at this moment. Yes, they saw glimpses of it in the history. They hear glimpses of it with the angels talking to the shepherds. But no one fully comprehends exactly what this is going to mean, because if they did, they would not have rejected it like they constantly did moving forward. And so Jesus continues to grow, and then Jesus comes to his passion, his death, his resurrection, and finally, the mystery is revealed. But not everyone got it. And so first, God gives this mystery to the Jews, and he teaches it through the teachings of Jesus, through the miracles of Jesus, by telling them to first go to the Jews, and when they finally, ultimately reject it, he's like, fine, now everyone else gets it. And if you look at Acts, we see this. What does Acts 1:8 say? Go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. And this is what the rest of Acts outlines. They go to the Samaritans. They go to the half-breeds, or I don't want to call them half-breeds, but that's kind of how they were looked at. The not quite, the eunuchs, and then the Gentiles, starting with Cornelius' family. And this is our part. This is our start in having the mysteries revealed. How we are, where we are today, 2,000 years separated, us sitting in this room, because I don't think anybody in this room is Jewish, and if I am, I'm mistaken. But we are all part of that heritage of when this first started in Acts chapter 10. And so Paul goes on to say that it is our job to share in this, to share this story. And is that easy? I feel like the concept of it sounds easy, but it's certainly not easy in practice. And Paul gives a hint on his not-so-subtle hint on why it's not easy. Because what is the very first thing he says? He says, share in my imprisonment. Because right now, when Paul is doing this, he's in prison, or he's in house arrest, for sharing the gospel. That's his only crime at this point in his life, is sharing the gospel. And they know that too. And they know it's a consequence of something that they could, that could just as easily happen to them. And maybe has happened to some of them. And so he moves into verse 13 to share with them. And the main message I want to share with all of you today is not to lose heart. Because this is one of the greatest things you can do as a Christian, is to share this message with other people. Because like you have received it through the divine revelation shown by the Holy Spirit, so too do they also get to share in that message. And he moves on into verse 7, and he says, "Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which is given to me by the working of His power." And he says something very, very important here, and it's so subtle, I don't even know if you would get it the first time. As he says it right here, is that this gospel is a gift. It is a wonderful and beautiful and powerful gift. It changes, it transforms life, it creates new life. And it is the greatest gift to all, and it has been revealed to you through the Holy Spirit. But up to that point, maybe you only caught a glimpse of it. Paul only caught a glimpse of it. I'm going to talk about more about that in a second. But this, what this revelation tells us as Christians is two things, and this is what he says, is that we, what we are because of Christ and who we are with Christ, is that we are heirs and we are partakers of the promise. Heirs and partakers of the promise of what it means to share in that gospel. We become heirs of God and partakers in everything that He has given us, including the gift of eternal life. So, I think we can be passionate people. Paul certainly was a passionate person, especially before he became an heir and a partaker in this promise. And what we read about in Paul's life, I don't honestly know what Paul was thinking when he wrote this, but I know that he had to be thinking that he probably almost missed out on this opportunity. In his zeal, God had to step in. God personally stepped in and said, "You need to stop it, because you're going to miss out on something great." Paul almost squandered his gift because he was missing the big picture. And it's something I hope that when you look at your zeal and sharing this message and revealing the mysteries to all, that you are not missing out on it on your own. Because like Paul, we all deserve wrath, but like Paul was given, we are all given grace. God does not want the gospel to be hidden, which is why he doesn't say, "John Paul, go preach the gospel." He says, "You, all of you, go preach the gospel." Yes, I get to do it up here, but it's still everybody's responsibility. Because as he says in verse 10, it brings wisdom and insight into the world. But before he closes out this particular section, he says there's definitely something he wants them to do, just like he wants us to do too. Is he says, if there is something you could do right now, this is what I'm going to do for you, and this is what I want you to do for others, is I want you to pray for one another. Pray for your brother and sister that they would have encouragement. Pray for your brother and sister that they would have strength. Pray to open the hearts and the minds of your fellow brothers and sisters. And he specifically is talking about brothers and sisters. He's talking about the fellowship that we have with one another. So pray for the people in this room. Pray for the people outside this room too. But pray for those who are supposed to be sharing the gospel. But also pray for yourself, as he says in 18 and 19, that God gives you love and strength and comprehension that surpasses all knowledge. God's mystery has been revealed to us through His Son, Jesus. It is a wonderful gift. It is the best gift. But that gift does come with a cost. And that cost is that person who you were before, that person has to be gone. That person can no longer exist. This new person, this new creation that we talked about before, that's the person you now have to be. That is the price of the gift. One who lives with Jesus. One that fellowships with the brotherhood. And one that continues to share the message. Pray for yourself. Pray for other people. Pray that they have the peace and knowledge that passes all understanding. Paul ends this lesson with a prayer and a praise. And I think it's a great way to end our lesson today. And he says, "To Him be the glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever." All generations. Talking about you right here, right now. And even the next one, right then. Does this message respond to you? Do you think as a Christian that this is your responsibility? I hope so. And if there's something we can do to help you with that, if there's anything you need, we invite you to come forward as we sing the song.